Evid, a servant of Jesus Christ, unworthy to be called a son, yet grafted in by the blood of the Lord, who died on a tree and became a curse for us, that we might be delivered from the curse of sin. Grace and peace from God and our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ to my brothers and sisters abroad. I have great fear and trembling for you all, for tribulation soon comes upon us. And I would that we all endure unto the end, that we might see the Lord at his coming, and finally have our hope revealed unto us. Today I want to talk about two passages of Scripture, primarily in dealing with judgment, which is coming far sooner than many think, not only against the United States, but also against the whole world. But I also want to talk about mercy. Turn with me to the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 15. This chapter is about the Lord telling Saul to go and destroy the Amalekites for what they did to Israel when they came up out of Egypt. And the Lord told Saul and Israel to utterly destroy them and to spare nothing. Saul did not do that, and he ended up sparing the chief of the oxen and sheep, and he said it was a sacrifice unto the Lord. That was his excuse. And he also made excuses saying the people compelled him. But Samuel says to him in verse 22, "Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king." One thing I want to point out here, before we go to the next passage of Scripture. God did not say at this time he would destroy Saul's house. He simply said, "You are rejected from being king because you disobeyed me." And because Saul disobeyed the Lord, he would cause all of Israel to disobey the Lord with him. That's very important to understand. And he actually ended up doing so. Now let's turn over to 2 Chronicles, chapter 33. And actually, before we read Chronicles 33, we're going to go to the book of 2 Kings in chapter 21. We're going to be reading about Manasseh, one of the most evil kings to have ever reigned in Judah, and frankly, it seems, in all of human history. Beginning in verse 1, Manasseh was 12 years old when he began to reign, and reigned 55 years in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Hephzibah. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, after the abominations of the heathen whom the Lord cast out before the children of Israel. For he built up again the high places which Hezekiah his father had destroyed, and he reared up altars for Baal, and made a grove, as did Ahab king of Israel, and worshipped all the host of heaven, and served them. And he built altars in the house of the Lord, of which the Lord said, "In Jerusalem will I put my name." And he built altars for all the host of heaven in the two courts of the house of the Lord. And he made his son pass through the fire, and observed times, and used enchantments, and dealt with familiar spirits and wizards. He wrought much wickedness in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger. And for those who don't know, passing through the fire means that he set his son on fire, most likely while he was alive, as a sacrifice to the devil. And the heathen around Israel would do the same thing. It's one of the reasons why God had Israel destroy them as judgment against them for doing these things. And one of the ways that they would do it is they would take newborn babies and cut off their heads, set them on fire. They'd also take children and saw them in half. And when I say saw, I mean they would get a banded toothed saw and saw them in half and set them on fire as sacrifices. They did horrible things. I mean, think about what, especially what the U.S. does today with abortions. God regards that as murder. Continuing in verse 7, And he set a graven image of the grove that he had made in the house, of which the Lord said to David and to Solomon his son, In this house and in Jerusalem which I have chosen out of all tribes of Israel will I put my name forever. Neither will I make the feet of Israel move any more out of the land which I gave their fathers. Only if they will observe to do according to all that I have commanded them, and according to all the law that my servant Moses commanded them, but they hearken not. And Manasseh seduced them to do more evil than did the nations whom the Lord destroyed before the children of Israel. Manasseh was so evil, he was worse than all of the heathen, he was worse than the Amalekites, the Amorites, He was worse than the Canaanites. He was worse than the Philistines. Like, that's how evil he was. And the Lord spake by his servants the prophets, saying, Because Manasseh king of Judah hath done these abominations, and hath done wickedly above all that the Amorites did, which were before him, and hath made Judah also to sin with his idols, therefore thus saith the Lord God of Israel, Behold, I am bringing such evil upon Jerusalem and Judah, that whosoever heareth of it, both his ears shall tingle. And I will stretch over Jerusalem the line of Samaria, and the plummet of the house of Ahab, and I will wipe Jerusalem as a man wipeth a dish, wiping it and turning it upside down. And I will forsake the remnant of mine inheritance, and deliver them into the hand of their enemies, and they shall become a prey and a spoil to all their enemies, because they have done that which was evil in my sight, and have provoked me to anger since the day their fathers came forth out of Egypt, even unto this day. Moreover, Manasseh shed innocent blood very much, till he had filled Jerusalem from one end to another, beside his sin wherewith he made Judah to sin, in doing that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. If you remember in Genesis, when Cain murdered Abel, Abel's blood cried to the Lord from the earth. Anytime innocent blood is shed, that blood cries unto God for vengeance and justice. Now, back in 2 Chronicles chapter 33, because when I first read this, I just marveled. I was amazed. We'll start in verse 10. And the Lord spake to Manasseh and to his people, but they would not hearken. Wherefore the Lord brought upon them the captains of the host of the king of Assyria, which took Manasseh among the thorns, and bound him with fetters, and carried him to Babylon. And when he was in affliction, he besought the Lord his God, and humbled himself greatly before the God of his fathers, and prayed unto him. And he was entreated of him, and heard his supplication, and brought him again to Jerusalem into his kingdom. Then Manasseh knew that the Lord, he was God. That astonished me when I first read it, because it really proved and showed how merciful God is willing to be to us sinners. And I wanted to contrast Manasseh and Saul for a reason, because, you know, Saul did nowhere near as bad as Manasseh did, except that he did one thing that was even worse. Saul never repented. He was so stubborn that he refused to let go of his kingship and seek the Lord his God, because God never said that he would destroy his whole family at that point when he said that he wouldn't be king anymore. He just said, you won't be king anymore. But what does Saul do? He continues being king. He stubbornly holds on to it. He refuses to repent. And in the end, his whole family lineage is wiped out, because his daughter, Milcah, she never has a child. She dies childless. Saul's whole lineage is wiped out. Whereas with Manasseh, despite all the evil that he did, yet he humbled himself, repented of his evil ways, and sought the Lord God, and God had mercy upon him. Originally, I was just going to talk about the mercy, but I think based on what's happening now, I have to talk about the judgment also. This is a very important thing to understand. God will have mercy on whom he will have mercy. We cannot force him to have mercy. We can only cast ourselves upon his mercy and pray to him that for his mercy's sake and for his righteousness' sake, that he will forgive us and save us. It's very important we don't attempt to justify ourselves to God when asking for forgiveness, because that is just attempting to justify oneself is not the sign of a penitent heart. I've been listening to judgments lately being proclaimed against the United States, and it tore me up inside, because I was listening and I realized I deserve to be judged alongside everyone else. I don't even deserve to call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. It just broke something within me. But I thank God that he is merciful, and that if we humble ourselves and repent and turn back to him, he is willing to have mercy upon us. And I think we, especially as the church, need to do that, because we haven't been doing our due diligence, most of us. But I also wanted to talk about his mercy in that. Look at what Manasseh did. Murdered his own son as a sacrifice to Satan. Murdered innocent blood throughout the whole. He says he filled it up. He filled up Jerusalem with innocent blood from one end to the other. Worshipped idols. Completely destroyed what God had built up in Israel that was dedicated to him. Yet he repented, humbled himself, turned to the Lord. There is no sin that God is not willing to forgive, especially for his son Jesus Christ's sake. For when Jesus died on that cross, he paid such a price that it was able to redeem those who put their trust in him. But God will not force us to repent. We have to do that. We have to come to him and humble ourselves. But I want you to know that if we do, he is willing to forgive us and have mercy. So if you think or feel like you've done something he'll just never overlook, think again. Humble yourselves. We have to be humble. There's a passage of scripture that says, what does God require of us but to live justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with our God? But there is a terrible day of judgment coming. Then I tremble for all who will suffer through it, those who are not saved. The brothers and sisters, though our hearts might tremble at this, we can encourage ourselves in knowing that though we might suffer tribulation and affliction, these things are nothing compared to the glory we'll receive in Christ Jesus. And so it is a worthy thing to suffer these things so that we may be like Jesus Christ at his coming. God be with you all. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and our Father God be upon you all. Let us look to his kingdom and to his hope, which we shall see at his coming. Amen.